Chapter 32.
It was during this time that I set out to conquer the floating isles, and we all know how that ended. Blackened pirates. There was another reason to all my warring, aside from protecting my people and unifying the world. The Shade. I had seen their butchery firsthand, vile and merciless. It was foolish to simply wait around for those monsters to grow in strength and cast night in the land when we could strike at them preemptively. But to eradicate the Shade once and for all, I would need the collective strength of every nation on Telos. That would never happen through diplomacy. Could you imagine the Lurian Empire ever being willing to work with Leon Tah? So yes, some might say I conquered for power and revenge, but those goals were merely a means to an end, that of eradicating the Shade. But the ends never justify the means.
The Merovin flew over the farms and fields that blanketed the land around them like a patchwork quilt. It was the middle of high fall, and Dalin had been flying the ship for 8 hours straight, having risen early. Ahead in the distance, the fields were broken by a speckling of small towns which grew larger and closer together until finally forming the broad and mighty metropolis that was Hydon. The city dominated the view ahead. Hydon was an edge city, and thus the land before them simply ended, falling off into the endless sky. As they were flying northward, the plummet was falling slowly to the left in the distance. The blindingly bright orb that was the sun sat to their right, high in the sky. Floating above the countless buildings of the ground-level city was a flat disk, like an enormous dinner plate, several kilometers in diameter, that was completely covered in buildings. Above this disk were three others, each one smaller than the one below, crammed atop with buildings too, the top disk bearing the two largest and most impressive structures of all. The Senate, once called the Dawn Palace, Dalin's former residence, and behind it, the Great Lumatorium. The disks sat off-center from each other, their sun-facing sides in line, and because each lower disk was bigger, their southern side extended farther out from the one above. A great ramp-like road built of marble rose from the ground to each disk in a straight line, its design fashioned after the aqueduct structures of old. It was called the High Road. High Dawn wasn't the only city in the world built on islands that floated near the ground, but it was the only one with islands as flat as disks that were so perfectly arranged. The disks were created with the Lumatorium. Most of the rescued girls stood along the sides of the ship, leaning out to look at the city ahead. They seemed very excited and happier than Dalin had seen them in Falls. Maybe they would be able to return to normal lives. There was a sharp briskness to the air that fall, and the girls were all wearing warm coats, which Arik had found in the store of the ship. Arik was now talking to each girl in turn, writing down the names of their families and home addresses, so that the information could be handed over to the authorities when they landed. The soft, high-pitched hum of wind whistled in Dalin's ears as he piloted the ship. Dalin loved that noise, for it meant that he was truly flying, not just gliding or floating, but flying. It made him feel free. Dalin looked to his left. Clouds floated low that fall over an endless landscape under the blue sky, the faint outline of the continent high above. It seemed so calm, though Dalin knew the truth of it. That beautiful hum told of strong wind currents beyond the calm air pocket over the deck, created by the ship's windshield. They were flying at 200 kilometers an hour. Not the Merovin's top speed due to her towing the Bloodrunner, but still far beyond anything that could be achieved on the ground. Sane climbed the stairs to the helm and joined Dalin's side.
"Wow," he said, looking at the city.
"Yep," Dalin replied. "There's no greater city in the world." and one of the reasons for that was Dalin himself. Once named Sunview, he had made it his capital after the First Revolution. He was born in that city. He had fought and bled in that city. Once making it his capital, he had made it truly grand. Still, it was hard to look upon Hydon without being overwhelmed by guilt, for it was in that city where he had committed or ordered his greatest crimes. He would love and despise it forever.
"What's that dome over the city?" Sain asked.
"It's a net of darkstone anchors fixed in position around the city to prevent unwanted skyships from entering the city's airspace. Usually a shield net's anchors are spaced 2 meters apart, but Hydon's are spaced 1 meter apart, and it has 5 layers. That's essentially 5 shields in one that are each twice as strong as normal. It took years to put them all in place, and is why this shield is so visible at such a distance."
"So how do we enter?"
"There are openings in the shield, specifically at the registry stations."
"Wow," Sain said. "They're the perfect defense against skyships."
"Yep. Shield nets are remarkably effective, except against annihilators."
"I've heard of those. They're the biggest skyships ever made, aren't they?"
"It took a genius to design them in a way that they could still be maneuverable. An annihilator can punch through a regular shield net, but not Hydon's."
"You really know a lot about this stuff."
"Oh, I know a lot of stuff," Dalin said and pointed. "Do you see that large building on the fourth aisle?"
"The fourth aisle?"
"Hydon is divided into 5 parts. The Grand City, the First Isle, the Second Isle, and so on. So do you see the large building on the Fourth Isle?" Sain squinted.
"Yeah. What is it?"
"The Lumatorium. The most amazing building in existence. The thing defies physical laws. There are even doors on one end that open to rooms on the other side of the structure."
"Wow,"
Sain said in true awe. The kid was far more amicable now than he had been a few falls before. Apparently teaching him how to pilot a skyship was enough to win the boy over. Oh, and freeing both him and his mother from the Sunforged tag's black-hearted link to them. Sain seemed truly grateful to Dalin for that, and had opened up along the flight, and had told him of how he had ended up in Blackheart's crew. The kid had tried to steal from Blackheart, but had been caught. His punishment was to be a lifelong sentence in Blackheart's crew, his life in the bastard's hands through the forced Sunforged link. Sain said he would have run away and let the bastard kill him if not for the threat to his mother, who had also been forcibly linked, and became Blackheart's favorite whore when he dropped anchor in Raidaway, her face rarely free from bruises and cuts ever since. It was a sad tale, but remarkably Sain had grown strong and resilient from it. Through it all, he had never broken. Dalin was right about the kid. He certainly had some balls.
"Do you think we'll get to see it?" Sain asked, referring to the Lumatorium.
"You don't need my permission. I'm not your keeper."
"No, I'm your prisoner."
"Not after we dock." Sain didn't reply, and Dalin turned his head to see frustration on Sain's face. "I thought you'd be jumping for joy."
"It's not that."
Dalin looked back to the city and thought about what Sain meant. "Yeah, it can be hard to find your way in the world, but you'll figure it out. The truth is, you're a resourceful kid, and could do well in life if you make the right decisions."
"Don't call me a kid," he said scathingly. "We're the same age."
"Trust me, you're a kid." Silence hung for a moment before Sain said anything.
"I want to come with you."
"No, you don't."
"Yes, I do.
Kid, if you knew who I really was, you would want to get as far away from me as possible, if you didn't want to kill me first." Sain seemed to be studying Dalin.
"Who are you?"
"I can't tell you. But if you stay with me, you'd just get in the way. You need to live your own life, Sain."
"What do you expect me to do? Get a job in a port or work in some factory? Screw that. Apart from getting stuck with Blackheart, there was one good thing about my life. I was free.
And you'd think you would be free with me.
Sane shook his head.
But without you, I'll be stuck in Hydon just like I was stuck in Raidaway.
Then it's a good thing you'll have a skyship.
What?
Blackheart's ship. It's yours. I'm keeping the Merovan, but you can have most of the loot we loaded up from the den. You've picked up how to pilot well enough. Do whatever you want. Go wherever you want to go.
But...
You're welcome.
You're really giving me the loot?
The boy asked, his eyes wide. A tenth of what's there is more than I'll need for years. The rest is yours.
But that's enough to buy, like, 3 mansions.
More like 12. I suppose you're going to live a very nice life. Don't be stupid with it, okay? Once we're docked, organize a secure transfer of the money into a bank through the Skyport office.
Sane's mouth hung open, and he stared into nothing. Eventually he turned and walked from the helm, finding a seat on the long bench that had been built along the siding of the ship.
There he sat in stunned silence for a good while. Dalen smiled to himself.
This must be a dream, Sane thought to himself. Nothing like this happens to me. How can Dalen give me a whole skyship and a fortune on top of that?
Sane looked to Dalen at the helm. The man could act like a right bastard, but Sane had come to see what the Bringer had been talking about. Acting like an unfeeling bastard was all show to hide his true feelings from others. Maybe the act was to protect those feelings. Sane looked down to his hands. Whenever speaking to Dalen or even thinking of him, he couldn't help but see Dalen as older. Like, way older. It was the way Dalen acted, the way he spoke and carried himself. Like he had seen everything and knew everything. Nothing could faze him. How in the light did a person become like that? It was impressive, though Sane would never tell Dalen that, or how much he secretly wanted to be like him.
And now he's made me rich. Nearly all of Blackheart's loot.
Blackheart had been boasting that he was close to retiring, that he could live like a king for the rest of his life. Sane didn't know what he should do with it, apart from going back to get his mother and buying her a nice place, probably in Hydon.
Wow! What was that going to be like? His mom in Hydon!
Sane laughed. Well, at least she wouldn't have to be a whore anymore. Someone's shadow moved across his line of sight. Sane glanced up and saw one of the girls Dalen had saved standing before him. He had noticed her before. She was hard to miss, considering the girl was the most beautiful thing he had ever seen. Deep blue hair with crimson streaks running through it, a perfect face, and alluring curves. She wore a white dress that was a little worse for wear under a long, fur-lined flight jacket.
Hi, my name is Shara.
I'm Sane.
Dalen hadn't let Sane even be close to any of the girls, but that was when he hadn't trusted him. Things were far better between them now. Shara took off her coat and sat on the bench next to Sane.
I've been trying to figure out how you fit in with all of this.
I've been trying to figure that out my whole life.
Shara smiled at that.
Why did that make her smile? I mean, with Dalen and the Lightbringer. The first time I saw you was after we had been rescued. You were tied up and Dalen really didn't seem to like you. But now you seem to be friends.
I guess maybe we are friends. If what he says is true, then he's done really good by me. Better than I deserve.
Will you be going with him?
No. He doesn't want me around. I don't know what I'll be doing. But I guess I'll have a lot of options.
Why do you want to know?
It's just that I'm alone too, Shara said, shrugging, which caused the shoulder of her dress to fall down over her arm, revealing a slender neck and the sensuous lines that led to her breasts.
Whoa! She just put her hand on my thigh,
Sane thought in alarm. It was really close to something that was reacting the only way it knew how.
Could you follow me? Shara said with a smile, nodding to the cabin door. I'd like to show you something.
Sure, Sain said, feeling too stunned to process anything.
Shara stood and walked to the door, looking back over her bare shoulder at Sain, and smiling sheepishly. Sain followed, wondering what under the light this beautiful girl could want from him. Whatever it was, he was keen to find out.
Dalen was guiding the ship to line up with a few other skyships toward a registry station at the border of the city's shield. Before them were four small fancy structures that had been built atop darkstone foundations and were floating in place as solidly as if they were on the ground. Spaced out from one another by generous distances, the stations had been placed at the side of openings in the city's shield. The left sides of the buildings had long hallways extending out with box-like rooms on their ends. The small square rooms, supported by darkstone, of course, were called toll booths. They were made to stretch out to skyship decks where they could receive the entry tax. The registry station to which Dalen was aligning the Merovan had a much smaller and age-worn skyship called a Dory docked next to it. Clearly, that was how the tollman had gotten to the station in the first place. Arik climbed the stairs to the main helm where he joined Dalen's side.
It feels as though we're about to complete a grand adventure, Arik said.
If that's how you want to see it.
How do you see it?
That we're not done. We still need to figure out what the Dawnists are up to and stop whatever they're planning. After that, I'm thinking to end the sex trafficking trade that exists in the city.
Noble goals, though not small in the least.
Are you going to be sticking around?
Of course. The light sent me to you for a reason, and if that's to help you stop the criminal activities of the Dawnists as well as the sex trafficking trade, I shall see it done.
And what if you don't want to?
But I do.
Would you be picking a fight with the Dawnists if you hadn't met me?
Probably not. But I want to do what the light directs me to.
And as a result, you really don't have any free will.
Arik raised an eyebrow.
Don't get me wrong, Dalen said. I've learned enough from my own mistakes to know that I need to do what the light wants. But that doesn't mean I don't resent it for that. Sometimes I just want to tell the light to bugger off.
Arik stifled a concerned groan at Dalen's blasphemy.
But you've clearly learned that it's always better for you in the long run to obey.
Yeah, Dalen said with a sneer.
And in relation to your first point, nothing is forcing me to obey the light. I choose to obey.
No, you're coerced to obey because of the implied consequences.
Really? Would I be struck down by the light if I left and never saw you again?
No, but you would be punished eventually. Trust me, when the light calls a man to answer for his crimes, it makes him pay in every degree.
I agree, but justice is most often held in store for the afterlife. If the light punished men for their every crime and directly rewarded them for their good deeds the moment after they were done, no man would ever sin. And where would free will be then? That, Dalen, is true coercion, and we must realize that in life evil men will often get away with being evil and good men will still suffer. Yet every one of man's actions is seen by the light, and they'll be held accountable for them once they are dead.
Yeah, I know all that. My point is that, even knowing that, it still bothers me. I still find it hard to swallow my pride and heed the light. And you're just annoying as anything for how easy you make it look.
I never said I found it easy.
No, but you show it.
Dalen, Arik said with a heavy sigh, I honestly wish I'd never become a Lightbringer.
Dalen's eyes went wide.
What?
Suddenly Dalen saw that the man was struggling with some clearly powerful emotions as he tried to hold back tears.
I only gave up my life to serve others after losing my family. I had nothing left. It was either that or die. Being who I am, doing what I do, has never been easy.
Realization hit Dylan with profound significance. Auric wasn't an easygoing man of perfect selflessness. Oh, he was selfless, of course, but he found life difficult, and maybe even as much as Dylan himself. And he knew why. No man should ever have to suffer the loss of his wife and children. Dylan lowered his eyes.
You're an amazing man, Auric.
No, Auric said, his self-control having returned. I'm just a man.
They stood in silence as the Maravan moved the rest of the way through the queue. Dylan eased the ship under the toll booth and then brought it up so the toll booth rested half a meter above deck. A suited, middle-aged man wearing a cravat and tricorn hat sat inside the booth.
Two ships, second in tow, are you claiming?
He trailed off, his mouth opening wide.
Oh, blessed light, you're him.
Dylan rolled his eyes. The milkman?
No, he stuttered. The one that's been talked about in the papers. The son of the Conqueror. The one who stopped all those crimes in Tremaine.
Light, so he had been recognized when he was leaping about in Tremaine, or else a reporter had figured it out. You must be mistaking me for someone else, Dylan said. The tollman pulled out a paper and held up the front page. Dylan's face had been printed on it, a perfect likeness. They must have been working from the countless paintings there were of his older self. The headline read, A New Hero. How could they be regarding him a hero? All he had done was stop a few thieves, rapists, and murderers. Okay, that might have done the job, but he certainly didn't deserve the recognition. It's not like he had risked his life. Any regular soldier was 100 times the hero he was.
No, it's you, the tollman insisted. It has to be. The papers say you've got some new type of power, seeing as you aren't an arch-knight or a light-bringer.
Dylan looked to Auric, who said,
The secret's out now.
Not really, Dylan said, relieved that people hadn't figured out he bore the same powers as the knights. This also raised a significant problem. He had attracted so much attention that somebody must have already dug into his past far enough to find that there were no records of him, forging new ones that magically appeared after it had been discovered that they didn't exist would just create more suspicion.
Light, damn it all, Dylan said.
He had arrived at the capital too late. He had failed. Now he would just have to see how things turned out. He needed to change his story at the very least. Maybe his father, Dalus, had destroyed the records before they had been sent to the capital, making sure there was no way anyone could trace it back to him and discover who he was. Dylan turned to the tollman.
Are you going to do your job or not?
Oh, of course. The ship in tow. Are you claiming the right of salvage on it?
On both ships, actually, Dylan said. This is the Maravan. We bought passage on her from Tremaine to Hydon, but were attacked by pirates. The crew were all killed. Dylan didn't mention by who, but the Lightbringer and I were able to defeat the pirates in the end. The tollman's mouth was hanging open.
Powers, Dylan said, pointing to the paper resting in the toll booth. In taking the ships and inspecting their cargo on this trader, we found these girls.
Dylan pointed to the girls on the foredeck.
They had been locked away and destined to be sold on the sex trafficking market. They've all been kidnapped and need to be returned to their families. They can also bear witness to the crimes of the Maravan's crew and our actions in fighting off the pirates. The second ship is the Bloodrunner, which belonged to the pirate Captain Blackheart. We killed him, too. Oh, and found a few of his captives. The Class A illegal activities conducted on both ships void all ownership rights. We'll alert the authorities once we find port to sort out all the legalities.
The tollman's face was an image of amazement.
You killed Captain Blackheart?
I can grab his head if you'd like.
No, that won't be necessary, though you will need to show it to the authorities.
That's why I kept it.
You really are a hero.
No, currently I'd say I'm an adequate human being, and then only barely.
But...
the entry tax? We need to get the girls to their families.
And you said the ship is the Merovin. Yes, that makes sense.
What makes sense?
Oh, slip of the mind, the tollman said, chuckling nervously. It makes sense because the ship is the Merovin, so you wouldn't exactly call it by another name.
Dalen handed him a leather envelope containing the ship's registration. Dalen had found it in the captain's quarters. The tollman took it with a shaking hand and saw that Dalen noticed. He cleared his throat while inspecting the registration. He was certainly nervous, but Dalen was a bit of a celebrity, it appeared, and he did just claim he had defeated one of the most notorious pirates of the skies while towing proof in the form of the scoundrel's own ship. Perhaps the tollman was just intimidated. The tollman handed back the registration.
Typically, the tax would be 200 for both ships, but I can understand that you might not have the money on hand.
Well, we weren't exactly expecting to have claim over two skyships, but I can pay regardless.
He took out a crown, handing it over. The tollman nodded, taking the coin.
Very well, he said, but then he paused briefly. To save you searching out the authorities once you land, I could alert the Border Patrol to escort you in. I mean, you are a hero, after all. Towing the Blood Runner, too. This will mean you skip the queue waiting on the port's traffic controllers ahead.
Dalen's brow rose.
Sure, that's very generous of you.
Oh, it's my pleasure, sir. Just don't mind the siren you'll hear or the patrol vessel that comes in. Do exactly as they say, because the patrol won't know why I've flagged you for an escort. That could mean I suspected you for smuggling illegal goods or have seen you as a threat. You can sort everything out once you land.
Thanks.
Good day.
Dalen walked back to the helm, pulling a lever to move the ship on. Sure enough, soon after leaving the station, an alert sounded. A patrol ship in the distance responded and flew close. Dalen waved to it as it flew up beside them to let them know their escort was expected. Like all military ships, it had a steel rammer built at its tip with side portholes to launch warheads and any other darkstone-powered projectile.
"They're going to recognize you," Arik said. "And I'm sure they're going to have as many questions as the authorities in Tremaine did."
"Yeah, I know.
So whatever you need to do here in the capital should be put off. I suggest you let them take you in, Dalen. Running from them will only create suspicion."
Dalen sighed. If he was lucky, the local authorities might not have looked into his past, or at least not seen the significance of the missing records. The best course of action was to play along for now.
"You're right," Dalen said. "It's time to turn myself in. They won't be able to hold me for long, and once I'm done with them, we can get to those other loose ends."
"Meaning the Dawnists and sex traffickers?"
"Yep. And I'm sure our meeting is going to be engaging, to say the least."